elements. So we're going to talk about the four classical elements. All right, the four classical elements, if you don't know what they are, it's earth, wind, and fire, and water. Okay, I just had to say it that way because everybody knows the group Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know what I mean? So I almost played an Earth, Wind, and Fire song as I came out, but they'd shut us down on YouTube if I did that because we don't have the rights, so I didn't do it. But earth, wind, actually earth, wind, water, and fire is how they're listed. So those are the four foundational or classical elements as they're referred to in science. Earth refers to the foundation. It can refer to many different things, but foundation. God and Jesus are both referred to as the rock in the Word of God. You'll probably hear that during the summer. Wind or air is really represents life. So, you know, when God made human beings, he grabbed a handful of earth, one of the elements, and he breathed, okay, wind into earth, and it became us, right? So we were created by the elements. Water represents cleansing. It can represent other things, but usually cleansing, and Jesus is the living water. And then fire represents light or warmth and many other things, but Holy Spirit came as tongues of fire and lit upon them in the upper room. So we see that as one of the elements. These are just some examples of how the four classical elements are used through the Word of God, mentioned, labeled as names. You know, the Lord, his characteristics are shown through a lot of these elements as well. So this summer, each speaker will be focusing on one or more of the four classical elements in their messages, okay? And so I want to start by explaining a little bit about this, and then I'm going to get into my message. So the opening, my intro is just going to take a minute or two, but I want you to see this for the entire series. So in Genesis 1:28, the Word of God says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" So in this scripture, three of the four elements are mentioned. Earth is mentioned, the water is mentioned because of the fish of the sea, and the air is mentioned, or the wind, because of the birds of the sky, okay? The only one that's not mentioned in this scripture is fire. Fire will come later. We know that. How many of you know that? How many of you have been endued with fire or power from above? Amen? So, but three of the four elements are mentioned here. But what I want you to focus on is the Lord told them to fill the earth and subdue it and govern it. Govern, to govern means to rule over by right of authority. So we were given the authority by God to rule over the elements of the earth, to rule over the earth. Amen? Okay, so what happened was in Genesis 3:6, we gave that authority away. In Genesis 3:6 is when Eve was talking to the serpent, and he deceived her and Adam, and they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and ate it. And when they did that, when they disobeyed God and listened to the voice of the enemy, they gave their authority away to the enemy. All right? So actually what they did was they gave the enemy, Satan, the authority to govern the earth. Is what they did. And he did. He took that, and at that moment, he became what's called the ruler of this world. All right? In Luke 4:6, we see this because it says this. Luke 4:6 says, "I will give you the authority of these kingdoms and authority over them," the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please." So this is when Satan took Jesus on the mountaintop. It's the third of the three temptations, and he took him up there and he said, I'll give all this to you. I'll give you authority all over all the kingdoms of the world. And look at the scripture. It says, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please." So here Satan is declaring something. He's not lying. They were his at that time to give to whoever he pleased, because he rightfully got that authority from us, from humankind, okay? John 14:30, Jesus said, "I don't have much more time to talk to you." He's talking to his disciples. "Because the ruler of this world approaches, he has no power over me." So he's talking about Satan. And he's telling his disciples, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world, Satan, is approaching, but he has no authority or no power over me. All right, so we see this clearly, that Satan at that time in Genesis 3:6 received the authority to rule and reign or govern over the earth. So because he had the authority to govern over the earth, he also had authority over the elements of this earth. Because we had the authority over the elements. How many of you know that? And so, but Satan received, okay, he didn't steal, he received that authority. And so what Jesus did when he came back, and we've talked about this a lot, what he did when he came back is he rightfully took or won that authority back for us when he died on the cross and rose from the grave. He had to do that not just to wash every sin away and to set us free, but he had to do that in order to give us the authority to redeem us back to our rightful place. He set everything right when he did that. Amen? But we have to understand that, and we have to receive that authority back. What does the enemy do today? He continues to try to deceive us into thinking we don't have that authority or to give it back to him again. The only way the enemy can govern again or can have that authority back is if we give it to him. And we've talked about this many times. We can do this in our daily lives by the choices we make. If we choose to listen to the voice of the enemy over the voice of God, we're giving the enemy authority in that place in our lives. Amen? So we have to understand that. And we see that Satan had authority over the elements. When we look in Job chapter 1, Satan attacked Job, and two of the attacks involved fire and wind. So two of the attacks upon Job involved two of the four classical elements. He used fire and wind to destroy because he had authority to govern over the elements at that time. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, it said Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. You see? I've been given authority in heaven and on earth, all authority. And later he says, I give that authority to you. Look at Luke 10:19. Jesus says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. He wasn't talking about physical snakes and scorpions at that time. It was a type and shadow. He was actually talking about demons. That's what he was talking about. So I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. That means he's given us that authority back. He rightfully gave it back to us, the authority to rule and govern over the earth again. So we have that authority over the classical elements again. Okay? It's been returned to us by Jesus. So our house is built on the rock. Amen? Okay? The wind of the Holy Spirit blows in our lives. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? We are like trees planted by the living water. Right? And we are the light of the world. Okay? So you see many times in the Word of God where it's mentioning these four classical elements, and that's us. Now we have that authority to rule and reign. So we need to understand that we have this authority. So you're going to see when I'm preaching today about what I'm going to talk about, you're going to see these elements at work, and you're going to see how we have authority over these elements. So with that in mind, I'm going to kick off this series, and I'm going to go back to what I was talking about last week. Okay, that's why I'm back in the boat again, because I want you to see this. You know, maybe this helps you a little bit see the illustration I'm trying to give you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to this account that I mentioned last week of Jesus being in the boat and the storm coming and he was asleep and the disciples woke him up. But I'm going to read the whole account to you. All right, this is why it's important to read the entire story. Don't just read one part of it. It's powerful that Jesus got up and said, peace be still to the storm. It is powerful, right? But if that's all you read, you miss the greater picture of what's happening there. Okay? Don't just stop there. Read on and see what the Lord is really saying. So let's read this together. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you have YouVersion app, it's all the notes will be up on YouVersion all summer long for all these messages, okay? So here we go. Mark 4:35 says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out. leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. One version says smaller boats or little boats followed. Okay, and that's important for later. All right, verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." See that? Pay attention. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So chapter 5, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes, or Gadarenes is another version it says. And when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. I'm just going to stop for a second. Let me point something out. This is not part of the message, but I want to show you something in this message that will help you maybe down the road. If you ever know someone, okay, that has done this, anybody know someone that does something called cutting? Anybody ever known somebody like that, that struggled with that or did that? Okay, that is from the enemy. That is demonic, okay? All right, and I can show you other places when Elijah was battling the prophets of Baal up on the mountain, and the prophets of the 450 prophets of Baal were dancing around and trying to call down their false god to bring down fire. What the Bible say they were doing? They were cutting themselves, trying to call down the false god, right? So here we see it again, where this man who was possessed by the legion of demons was cutting himself with sharp stones. This is an act that is brought on by the enemy. This is a way the enemy tries to destroy, okay? And many of our young people have fallen prey to this. So you just need to see that, and you need to take authority over that. If you ever know someone that's struggling with that, all you need to do is, in the name of Jesus, take authority over that demon and command him to leave, okay? All right, so side note, but let me go on. Verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, okay, so I'm going to stop again. Sorry, I'm going to stop again because I want you to see something else here. It's not another part that's not part of this sermon, but I hear Holy Spirit saying this. Notice that Jesus had already told the spirit to come out of the man, and did the spirit immediately come out of the man? No. The spirit started talking back to Jesus. Said, "Why are you torturing me?" Okay, what does he say? He says, with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" I just want you to see that when you take authority over demonic spirits, that you're interfering with them. You're interrupting their plan, their plot, their scheme. You're interfering with them, and you need to take courage in this and let this encourage you. Because how many of you have taken authority over a demonic spirit you know was tormenting you or someone else that you love, and you took authority and you didn't immediately see change? Come on, y'all. You know what you need to do? You need to speak louder. You need to not stop. You need to get in the enemy's face. Don't play with the enemy. Take authority over him and make him leave. But I'm trying to show you, because we think, man, Jesus, man, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. So he said it, and the demons just ran. They saw him coming, and they ran. No, Jesus, here's one example, took authority over this demon or these demons, and they did not leave immediately. But what they said was, "Why are you torturing me?" Okay? For Jesus had already told the spirit to come out, and then Jesus demanded, what is your name? So this is Jesus. Now, I don't encourage you to have dialogue with demons like this, all right? But sometimes it is helpful to know a name. All right? So Jesus said, what is your name? And the spirit said, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again and again not to send them into some distant place. So here's another telling sign. Those demons knew they were about to have to go. They knew they didn't stand a chance. And it's not because it was Jesus, Son of God, there. It's because he had faith. Jesus had faith. You can do the same thing. And I'm about to show you that in this message. You can do the same thing that Jesus did. And in fact, Jesus said an even greater things if you'll have faith. So Jesus, you know, they begged him, don't send us to some distant place. And there happened to be a large herd of pigs there on the hillside feeding nearby. And they begged Jesus to send them into the pigs. So I love this. They knew they were going. And they're like, okay, you know, they're like, okay, just send us into those pigs, right? Don't send us to some distant place. Send us those pigs. And so what did Jesus do? He said, okay, go ahead. Go into the pigs. He gave them permission, the Bible says. And then the evil spirits came out of the man, entered the pigs, and then the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Verse 14 says, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out of the town to see what had happened, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. So they see this man that had been tormenting everybody, screaming and cutting himself, fully possessed by all these demons, that they put chains on him and they couldn't bind him. He'd break the chains and shackles. And you know there had to be fear in that land because of this demonically possessed man running rampant through that land. You know there had to be fear. But when Jesus sets him free and the pigs are the ones that received those demons and ran down the hillside and drowned, these people come out and now they're afraid? They see him sitting there perfectly sane and in his own mind, fully clothed, thank you. And now they're afraid? So what we see is, verse 16 says, then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd watched. Began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Now, there's something else at work here. Again, not part of this message, but I'm going to point it out to you because it's in the scripture, because there's a lot of messages in here. Okay? I could preach a lot of sermons from this passage. But the reason that they were afraid and the reason that they begged Jesus to leave is because their livelihood just went down the toilet, just went into the lake. They were making money off those pigs. They didn't care that this man, this human being, is in his right mind and fully clothed and finally free from all of those demons. They didn't care about that. What they cared about was their pocketbook. That's a whole nother sermon for another time, but I can see, boy, I could go right now with that. But let me go on, because that's not what you need to hear today. All right, maybe another day. So they begged him to leave them alone. Watch this, verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Verse 21, and Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. All right, so that's the passage of Scripture. I have three questions for you today. My 3 points are 3 questions. Question number one, are you in the boat with Jesus? Are you in the boat with Jesus? Yes. Good. Good answer right there. Thank you. You're the only one that said yes. Anybody else in the boat with Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. And the child shall lead them. Let me point out a couple things about this. Others got into boats with Jesus. Got into boats without Jesus. Look at verse 36 of our original text. Verse 36 says, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out. So they left land, earth. They took Jesus in the boat and got on water. Okay? Two of the elements. They left the land, they got into the boat, they took Jesus and got into the boat. Okay? But the Bible says, if you read on, it says that other boats followed. So they took Jesus in their boat, but other boats followed. The Bible says that Jesus, the boat that he was in, was the bigger boat, and little boats followed. All right? If the bigger boat got swamped when the storm came and the waves were crashing in on the boat, the Bible says that that boat started to fill with water, and the disciples were so afraid that they were going to die, they were going to drown, that they ran back and woke up Jesus. If that boat got swamped by the water, what happened to the little boats? You know, in this passage, we just read the whole thing, the whole account. Do you know that they never mentioned those boats again? You never see that. You never read about it again. Jesus got into the boat. They took him in the bigger boat, but little boats followed. And you never hear about those little boats again. Now, I don't know if those boats turned around when they saw the storm coming and went back to land. I don't know if those boats got swamped because of the storm and they didn't have Jesus in their boat and those boats went to the bottom of the sea. I don't know what happened, but what I do know is they were in smaller boats and they didn't have Jesus in that boat. And I can tell you this, you will not make it through the storm unless Jesus is in your boat. You won't make it. You got to have Jesus in your boat. There are a lot of people who say that they're following Jesus, but he's not in their boat. John 15:5, Jesus said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, apart from you, you can do nothing. He better be in your boat, because I can promise you this, you're going to go through some storms. Yeah. Right, Tracy? Yeah. You're going to go through some storms. Right, Justin? You're going to go through some storms. I mean, you're going to hit some times. This is what we just talked about this morning when we prayed for them. And you know this, they've been serving the Lord for a few months. You may have been serving the Lord for a few decades, but you know storms are coming. You're going to go through storms. Or at least Jesus is going to lead us to a place where we're going to have to go through some storms, but are you ready to go through the storms? Is he in the boat with you? He's got to be in the boat with you, for apart from him, you can do nothing. If he's not in your boat, you may be following him, but he's not in your boat. What's going to happen when the storms come? Listen, Jesus was in their boat, and yet they still did not take authority over those waves and over that wind. Okay, so this leads me to question number two. You're like, oh, this is going to be a short one. He's moving really fast. No, question number three is really long, actually. Question number two. What is there to fear if Jesus is with you? All right. Verse 40 says, then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Jesus got up, and he calmed the wind, and he calmed the waves, and he told the storm, be still. And then he looked at them and said, why are you afraid? Then he said, do you still have no faith? If Jesus isn't in your boat, you have plenty of reasons to fear. If he's not in your boat, there's something to fear. But if he's in your boat, there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. You say, well, that's easy to say, but man, I feel it a lot of times. Yeah, well, just like I said just a few minutes ago, you have to take authority over that demon. Because there's a demon of fear that tries to torment us, tries to get us to believe that something bad's going to happen, but if Jesus is in the boat, nothing bad will happen. Oh, we may go through storms, but God's going to take care of us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He'll take care of us. Yeah, but I've seen people get hurt. I've seen things happen to people. Yeah, but God will take care of you. If Jesus is with you, you're going to be all right. You'll go through trials. You'll go through storms. You'll go through difficulties. But if Jesus is in the boat, you have nothing to fear. Well, it didn't turn out the way I wanted. Well, maybe the way you wanted wasn't the way God wanted it. You got to start leaning on his understanding. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Lean on his. See, the elements that day in that boat, the elements didn't wake Jesus. The disciples' lack of faith did. I'm going to say that again. The elements didn't wake Jesus. The disciples' lack of faith woke him. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, the Bible says. He's laying on a cushion. It was probably nice. I mean, there are times that sometimes at night we got a speaker in the corner of our bedroom and we can Bluetooth to it. And sometimes at night, in fact, a lot of times Kim will say, thunder. So that means that's all she'll say. She'll lean over, we're almost asleep, she'll say thunder. And I know that that's my cue that I have to get my phone, Bluetooth to the speaker, and put this thunder thing noise that we have on. It's like this sleep thing with, it's just thunder. Anybody like a good thunderstorm? Yeah? As long as the boat's not filling with water and rocking, right? We're good. Jesus in the back of the boat is just probably sleeping like a baby. He's just like, oh, I love a good thunderstorm, you know? He knew they were going to get to the other side. Why? Because he had a mission. He had a plan. He knew they were going to get to the other side. But the disciples, they were afraid and they thought they were going to die. And so instead of them taking authority over the winds and the wave and doing what God had already taking the authority over that, they went back to the back of the boat and they shook him. Wake up, we're going to die. Their lack of faith woke up Jesus. They could have been laying down beside him taking a nap. Right? If there's no fear, why not? Or they could have taken authority over the elements, but they decided to wake up Jesus instead. Matthew 21:21 says this. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. I'm going to say that again, that last part, verse 22. In fact, say verse 22 with me. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive. Amen. So watch this, because I told you earlier that Jesus redeemed our authority, gave us back the authority over the elements, and here's one scripture to prove that. Jesus said, he told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, is that what it says? Put that back up there, would you, for me? If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. What? Things like what? Well, again, read the whole passage. What happened? Well, that morning they were on their way into Jerusalem, and the Bible says that Jesus was hungry, so he looked for figs on a fig tree, and he found none. So he said to the tree, may you never bear fruit again. And then they went on their way. And when they were coming back out of Jerusalem, they saw the tree and it had withered and died. Well, there's a whole nother sermon right there. Why did it wither and die? Because it had no purpose any longer. Okay? That's why the tree. A lot of people say he cursed the tree. He just told it, may you never bear fruit again. So it lost its purpose, so it withered and died. Listen, without a purpose, we will die. Did y'all hear me? Without a purpose, we will die. Every single one of you have a calling on your life. It may not be to stand up here and to preach like I'm preaching. It may not be to work full-time in ministry in a church, but you have a calling on your life that's been given to you by God. And if you don't step into that calling and fulfill that purpose, you will wither up and die. You'll feel like there's nothing for me. What am I doing? Your spiritual life won't have meaning unless you fulfill the calling that God put upon your life. Amen? So, whatever that calling is, you need to find it. So he said to the tree, may you never bear fruit again. They walked back out of Jerusalem and the tree was dead, and the disciples pointed it out. They're like, wow, look at this. That tree that you told not to bear fruit again died. It withered and died in one day. And this is when Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. So a lot of people want to say, well, this was a spiritual analogy or symbolism spiritually, that you can do things spiritually. That's not true. Jesus was talking about physical things, because then he follows it up and he says, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Now, do I believe that we can say to spiritual things, spiritual mountains, spiritual hills that are in our way, get up and get out of our way? Absolutely. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the authority we have over the elements. Come on, y'all. This is what he's talking about. A lot of people, here's the thing that really bothers me in the church today, that the enemy has so hijacked the supernatural. Hello? He's hijacked the supernatural with fortune tellers and soothsayers and, you know, palm readers and what other things are out there? Tarot cards and the occult. He has hijacked, and he's done, like, even we, for a long time in the church, we even hesitated to say meditate, because we saw somebody sitting in a lotus pose, whatever that is. I don't even know what it is. It's something like this. I don't know. Right? With their legs crossed in a way that you should never cross your legs, especially over 50 years old. You should never, because you won't get back out of that pose if you do it. Once they're there, they're there. And if you do get them out of that pose, you can't get up and actually walk because they're numb. You know what, anybody know what anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't just leave me hanging out here. I see some 50-year-olds that aren't raising their hands. What, do you stretch or something? But we're afraid to even say meditate. We were. I see the church coming out of that. But we're afraid to understand that God's given us authority over some things, and we don't even want to say it because we're like, oh, man, why would we need the authority to make physical things move? I'm going to get out of the boat for this one. I got to get out of the boat for a second because I need a stretch a little bit. That's hard standing in one place too. Why would you need that authority? Because when the Lord leads you to someone that has a tumor on their brain, and he tells you to lay hands on them and speak with authority, you've been given the authority to lay your hand on them and in the name of Jesus command that tumor to shrivel up and die. May you never bear fruit again. May you never grow one more cell. In fact, I command every cell in that tumor to die right now in the name of Jesus. Isn't that taking authority over physical things? Yes, it is. You've been given the authority. We've been given the authority to speak to physical things, mountains, and tell them, get up. And now, why would we ever have any reason to tell a mountain to move? I don't know. Unless you just don't want to drive over top of it, okay? And that's not a good enough reason. God's not going to grant that prayer, all right? But he's just showing you that if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll be able to speak to physical things and tell them to move. It's in the Word of God. And we need to understand that. We have this authority. It's not hocus pocus. It's not the occult. We own this. It's been given to us by God. The supernatural belongs to Jesus. Amen? And we need to start walking in that authority. We have the ability to do this. We have the right to do this. We have the authority to do this. We have the power to do this. We just need to start doing it. You have the authority over in your own body. Do you know that? You have the authority. Well, I've prayed for my body, and it's not cooperating. Well, first of all, I will say this. It's clear. I don't have all the answers, because Lord knows I've dealt with some ailments and things like that, and I haven't seen them immediately clear up. But I do know a couple things. One thing I know is Jesus said, if you have faith and do not doubt. So I know it's true. The second thing I know is, just like I said earlier, Jesus spoke to a demon and told him to leave, and he didn't immediately leave. He wanted to negotiate. You don't think those demons are going to try to negotiate with you? They're going to try to lead you along, just have you engaged in conversation? How many of you have been in a conversation, you know, with a demon? You know you've been saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave, and that thing's not going, and all of a sudden you get drawn into this negotiation with the demon. And his goal is to wear you out, to distract you, to get you to move on. Just move on. Would you just go on? Leave me alone? Don't send me to some far off place. Would you just let me be where I am? That demon's going to try to wear you down and get you to take your focus off of him. But you don't need to lose your focus. You need to keep your focus on that demonic spirit, and you need to beat him down in the name of Jesus and command him to get out. Take authority over that. Don't play games with demonic forces. Take authority over them and make them bow their knee to Jesus. Back in the boat. Just because I need my notes now. 1 Corinthians 9:26. 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. Come on. I fight to win. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. I love this scripture. If you start to lose your focus, you need to say this scripture, quote this scripture over and over again, out loud, not under your breath, not in your head, out loud, quote the scripture. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Say it again. I fight to win. Say it. I fight to win. Several years ago, I preached a message, and I actually was focusing on this scripture, and we had wristbands made. How many of you got one of those wristbands? 1 Corinthians 9:26 on it. Run to win, right? That's what we put on that. I wore that for a couple of years. It reminded me, I'm doing this to win. I fight to win. I run with purpose in every step. When I come up against something and I feel the opposition of the enemy in my life, I'm gonna fight. I'm going to get into battle. I'm going to pull out the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to cut him up. Now, do I always do it like I should? Not all the time. I get weary, like I was just talking with Robert and Renee. There are times, man, pastors, we just get weary. We get tired. It's a lot. And sometimes, we don't do like we should do. Sometimes it is easier just to sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix. Okay, I've done it. I'm guilty. Nobody else done it in this place? Nobody? Nobody? Y'all quit looking at me with those eyes. You know, sometimes I get that. Just sit there, you know, and when that message comes up, are you still watching? The message of shame. I just say, yes, quit asking me. I'm going to finish this whole series in one night. I love this lyric from a song that Toby Mac sings called The Elements. Anybody hear that song, Elements? I fight the elements. And he says this, he said, I'm gonna go down swinging if I go down. Anybody know what I'm talking about, that line? Man, I sing that. You guys need to get that song and you need to turn it up, okay? Turn it up and just go thumping down the road to that song. He says, I fight the elements, I'm gonna go down swinging if I go down. And man, I wonder if the disciples had that song in the boat that day. And it was just thumping. And the waves are crashing, the wind's blowing. If they're just singing, I fight the elements, I'm gonna go down swinging if I go down. And they're like, shut your mouth. I'm trying to listen to my tunes. But instead, they woke up Jesus. And Jesus was trying to get their attention and get them to understand that he has given them this authority over the elements. Jesus got up and took authority over what? The elements. And he was telling them, you have this authority. I've redeemed it. I've given it back to you. And all they had to do was exercise that authority. See, that element of fear is not just going to step aside and let you pass. But you got to take authority over that spirit. That element of fear is going to stand in your way until you open your mouth and exercise the authority that you've been rightfully given and take authority over him. And when you do, he will step aside. He has to step aside. He cannot continue to stand in your way when you exercise the authority God has given you. You have to say, by the authority given to me by Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to get out of my way. And he has to move. Amen? That infirmity that you've been fighting, that sickness that's been attacking your family, that demon that's been eating at and devouring your finances, that demon that's been causing you to fall back into those addictions, that demonic spirit that's been attacking your marriage, that's been attacking your children, that's been coming against your family, those spirits have to move when you exercise authority over them. When you stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to move. You don't need to run to the back of the boat and wake up Jesus. Too often, when we get in these battles, the thing we do is go to God and tell God about these demons. What we need to do is run to these demons and tell them about God. Stop running to the back of the boat, stand up in the bow and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut your mouth and get out of my way. Amen. You have the authority to do it. Question number three. I was wrong. Question number three wasn't the long one. It was question number two that was the long one. Question number three. And I'm closing with this. Are you willing, listen to me, are you willing to go through the storm for one soul? Yes. Yes. Are you willing to do this for one soul? Are you willing to fulfill your calling for one soul? Is it worth it? You know, we're singing the song earlier that you are worthy of it all. That was so beautiful. Wasn't that wonderful with all the voices raised? You are worthy of it all. Filling this room. But do you know what that means? It means, Jesus, you're worth it. God, you're worth it. You're worthy. You're worth it. You're worthy of it all. And as I was singing that, I was thinking about this point. Are we willing to say, are we going to say, Jesus, you're worth it just for one soul? You're worth it. Whatever you've called me to, Lord, you're worth it. I've gone through the storms, and Jesus, you're worth it.